Track 12, Musical Memories. We have a change of key in our musical memories this month, as we're about to learn from Maggie about past masters, the masters of the King's music.
The post of Master of the King's or Queen's Music is a post in the royal household. The holder of the post was originally required to serve the monarch by directing the court orchestra and composing or commissioning music as necessary. The position is broadly comparable to that of poet laureate and is given to people eminent in the field of classical music. Although the duties are not clearly defined, the holder of the post is expected to produce music to commemorate royal events, such as coronations, birthdays, marriages, and deaths, and also to accompany other ceremonial occasions. Since 2004, the appointment has been for a fixed term of 10 years, rather than for life as previously. The first master of the King's music was Nicholas Lanier, appointed by Charles I in 1626. A descendant of a French Huguenot family, Lanier was a singer, a lutenist, and a painter, as well as being groom of the chamber for the Queen's Privy Chamber. To avoid Oliver Cromwell, he lived in the Netherlands, but returned to England after the restoration of the monarchy to resume his duties as master of music to Charles II. We do not know a lot about what Lanier wrote for the royal court, and he is mainly known for his songs. So, let's hear a bit of one now. Skip forward to the 18th century, and we find that three masters of the King's music were rather lazy. Going by the names of Louis Grabeau, Nicholas Staggins, and John Eccles, these three farmed out their duties to established composers such as Purcell and Handel to write pieces for royal occasions, the most famous being Handel's anthem, Zadok the Priest, written for the coronation of George II in 1727, which begs the question, why wasn't the post offered to either of these two more illustrious gentlemen in the first place? In the 19th century, the tradition of court odes written by the poet laureate and set to music by the master of music was discontinued, and the post of master of the King's music only continued because George IV maintained a small orchestra which needed to be directed. Other than that, the post became a more advisory position. By the time the 20th century arrived, there was a body of opinion that the position of Master of the King's Music was something of an anachronism, with neither a royal orchestra to direct nor regular royal odes to compose. However, Edward Elgar, who was well regarded by the royal family, pressed the case for retaining the post. Indeed, he apparently lobbied shamelessly for his own candidacy for it. Other names, including that of Rayfawn Williams, were suggested, but George V and his advisers took the view that if the post is to go to the most eminent musician, it would hardly be possible to go beyond Elgar, and his appointment was announced in 1924. As it happens, Elgar was not required to write any official ceremonial music in his new capacity, although in 1931 he dedicated his nursery suite to the Duchess of York, the future Queen Mother, and her two daughters. He also used his influence with the king to give advice about such topics as the foundation of a national opera company, the correct version of the national anthem to be broadcast by the BBC, and the musical events at which members of the royal family should be present. Although so far we have seen the post given to well-known figures in the musical establishment, the appointment has not been without controversy. Malcolm Williamson became the first Australian to hold the post when he was appointed in 1975. This appointment came as a surprise to many, and there was also a rumour of royal displeasure when he failed to finish the Jubilee Symphony he had been expected to deliver for the Queen's Silver Jubilee in 1977. The composer William Walton, who himself expressed relief that he had not been appointed, attributed Williamson's appointment to the need for cementing the cracks in the Commonwealth. Williamson did, however, hang on to the post until his death in 2003, composing works including Lament in Memory of Lord Mountbatten of Burma, An Ode to Queen Elizabeth, and Songs for a Royal Baby for the birth of Prince Harry in 1985. The first person to be appointed under the new 10-year fixed term was Sir Peter Maxwell Davis in 2004. He composed a work to accompany a poem by the then poet laureate Andrew Motion to mark the Queen's 80th birthday in 2006. Entitled A Little Birthday Music and sung by 8 massed children's and youth choirs, this piece was performed as a special promenade concert attended by the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh on the 19th of July 2006, a day which turned out to be the hottest July day for over a century. Maxwell Davis also played a key role in the creation of the Queen's Medal for Music, an award recognising musicians who have had a major influence on the musical life of the nation. And that same prom concert, the Queen presented this medal to the Welsh baritone Bryn Terfel. The first woman to hold the post was Judith Weir, who gave herself a wider remit to support and speak up for her composer colleagues and to embark on a nationwide exploration of music education in order to create pieces of music that are useful to school children and amateur musicians. She did, however, compose several works for state events, including The True Light for the First World War Century in 2018 and Like as the Heart for the Queen's State Funeral. Holder of the post is Belize-born composer and musician Errolyn Wallen, who was appointed by the new King Charles III in 2024. She is the 22nd holder of the post and is the first black woman to be appointed, having also been the first black woman to have a work performed at the proms. The palace cordon, I said yes, recalls Erilyn, who moved with her family to the UK at the age of 2. Now 67, she is ranked among the top 20 most performed living classical composers and has followed in the footsteps of the earlier holder of the post, Sir Peter Maxwell Davis, by making her home in Orkney. Most recently, she composed My Way of Dreaming for the Commonwealth Day service in Westminster Abbey. Written as a piece for solo soprano, it was sung by Samoan soprano Avial Cole and celebrates Sir Moses' role as current chair in office of the Commonwealth. So that was a bit of a whistle-top tour of our Masters of the King's and Queen's music. But I do think we should finish with a bit of pomp and circumstance, don't you? No, not that one. This is one of the most well-known ceremonial pieces of all. One which was written by the man who expressed his great relief at not being appointed to the post, William Walton. Here is his March Crown Imperial, commissioned for the coronation of George VI in 1937. And they don't come more imperial than this.
Thank you, Maggie. And Crown Imperial, another of the pieces I used to really enjoy playing with the Waveney Concert Band.